his wife are having a much needed weekend away together. And so we just want to lift them up in prayer and just pray that they have a blessed time, that they get some rest, some relaxation, and time to enjoy being together. My name is Phil Tedeschi, and I have the privilege and pleasure, my wife and I do, of being in-laws to Pastor Ron's daughter, Kelsey, who married our son, Micah. And we're glad to have him here today, although Kelsey's someplace else, right? Traveling? Okay, so she's got a girls' week anyway. Good for her. All right. Well, can we have the ushers come and prepare for the offering? And Skip, if you want to take care of this here. While we're doing that, there's just a couple things I want to remind you of from the announcements. Awesome worship today, guys. Thank you so much. In your bulletins, talks about the movie Monumental, and we are going to see that as a church group on the 27th of March. That's a Tuesday evening. I know this sign-up sheet went around last week, but we'll send it around again in case you didn't get a chance or you weren't sure. And I think more details are in the bulletin. And then, just a reminder of the study on the Holy Spirit, Remembering the Forgotten God by Francis Chan. It's going to resume again this coming Wednesday. If you have been to any of the ones that we did in February, and unfortunately I only got to be at one out of the three because of my travel schedule, but it was fabulous. I've been going through the book. The book is fabulous. I hope you have a chance to join in on that. It's been great. And actually, it's very much influenced what I'm going to speak about today. What I want to talk about today is, in fact, the title of my message is called Such As I Have, Three Steps to Radical New Testament Christianity. And the text is from Acts, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10, which is up here on the wall, and it reads like this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint this word today that goes forth. Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign and you are infallible. Lord, I know you trust fallible humans to deliver the message. I pray, Father, that what goes forth today would be completely and solely of you. Lord, that it would cause all of us to think and examine your scriptures and to draw nearer to you and to reflect your power that you've given us to draw all men unto you. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. So I think if we're going to talk about being radical, we ought to know what radical means. Because the one thing that I have come to learn about the Bible is that every word has a very specific meaning. A lot of times you hear people say, well, I'm going to see what that means to me. And honestly, we need to find out what the Bible means and then apply it to our lives, not decide what it means for us. The Bible has meaning, and it has specific meaning. And if we take that and we apply it to our lives, we will be stronger people. We will be able to do the things that the Bible describes. So let's see what it says about radical. A lot of times that word, and especially if you grew up when I did in the 60s and 70s, that word used to mean some bad guy, you know, some guy who was out to change the world and make it rotten. And I think if you remember the name Abby Hoffman, that's the first time I remember hearing the term radical used. And there were lots of, you know, the Weather Underground, and I'm going way back. Sorry if you're younger than 40, but radical really doesn't mean bad. Here's what it means. It means arising from or going to a root or source. Basic. Okay, well, what we described, the events that took place in Acts chapter 3, it was radical because the power came from a source, from a basic source that was within Peter. It was the Holy Spirit. So he used radical power. Okay? Second definition is departing markedly from the usual or customary. Extreme. Okay, here was a guy who was sitting at the temple begging for, I don't know how long, it doesn't say how old he was, but it said he'd been carried there daily. All of a sudden, for him to be up on his feet, walking and leaping, that was extreme. That was different. That was a departure, a marked departure from the usual. Okay, so that was radical. And then the third definition is favoring or affecting fundamental or revolutionary changes in current practices, conditions, or institutions. Would you all agree with me that his fundamental condition was changed? Amen. Yes, it was. Absolutely. Everything about this encounter that Peter had with the layman, formerly layman, was radical. But to understand it best, we really have to understand the events of the previous chapter, Acts 2. Now, a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is not going to be on the screen, so if you're following along or if you want, and I encourage you, please, write down the scriptures, take notes, take a look and see if what I'm saying is accurate. And if not, I told Pastor Ron he can handle all the problems on Wednesday night when we come back again to study the Holy Spirit. No, seriously. I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to give you what the Word says. I think we're all richer when we take the Word and apply it to our lives. So please do. Be Bereans. Test the Scriptures and test and see if this is what you see. So in the previous chapter, in Acts chapter 2, which is the story of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it was on the day of Pentecost, also known as the day in the Hebrew calendar, Shavuot, which is historically when the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, there's a few things that are really interesting about the fact that those two things happened on the same day on the calendar. Okay, the giving of the law was God providing guidance, leadership, direction, protection. In fact, you could even say comfort, because if someone lived, I mean, God told his people, if you live according to the law, it will go well with you. You will have your needs met. You will not have sickness. You will da-da-da-da-da, on and on and on, he told them. And so the giving of the law was a very good thing. 3,000 people, however, perished that day, because if you also remember the story about the golden calf, when Moses came down from the mountain, he saw them worshiping the calf, and Aaron kind of gave him the hokey story about, well, we gathered all our gold, threw it in the fire, and this came out. Yeah, not a good story. And 3,000 people died that day. Well, now here's the cool thing. On the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the believers who were gathered in the upper room, right? They were there in obedience to Christ. He said, wait for the power. Okay, the Holy Spirit descended with a rushing mighty wind and with tongues of fire, which people heard the noise and came running. They saw the tongues. They heard the praises of God in their own language from people who didn't know those languages. And in fact, they were so astounded that some of them accused the disciples of being drunk. And Peter stood up at that point and boldly proclaimed what became the first gospel message. And guess what? Remember the 3,000 that died? 3,000 were born again. Isn't that cool? God has ways of tying things together that are just supernatural. And when we study the Word, we just see so many of these kinds of things that are awe-inspiring. The events of Acts 3, this lame man being healed, came about because Peter recognized what he now possessed. He had received power from on high, and he released that power, which resulted in the healing of the blind man. It was not of himself, but what he had received that was given out. Peter recognized, received, and released the Holy Spirit to do the work in bringing Jesus to men that would eventually result in bringing men to Jesus. So today what I want us to do, and Pastor Ron said I only had 3 hours, so I'll try and get this done quickly. We want to look today at how recognizing, receiving, and releasing the Holy Spirit in our lives will transform us into radical Christians by going to the source of our strength, departing markedly from the usual, and effecting revolutionary changes. Are you with me for the journey? All right. So it starts with recognizing the gift. Jesus wants all of his disciples. Wait, did I say all? All of his disciples, not just the 12 from the scriptures, not just the 70 that got sent out, not just the 120 that were in the upper room, but all his disciples to have intimate relationship with him through the Holy Spirit and have power from the Holy Spirit. Okay, in John 17, 20 and 21, this is one of those verses that won't be up here. John 17, 20 and 21, Jesus was praying for his disciples before he was crucified, and he said, I pray this not just for these, but for all those that come after them. Okay, that's you and me. That's everybody. That's everyone who comes to the Lord. Jesus was praying that we would have this kind of relationship that he wanted his disciples who were with him when he was on the earth to have. But there's more. In John 14, 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 15, 26, he said, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 13 and 14, Jesus again said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And finally, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would be given for several purposes. Okay, I'll just name a few. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but the first one is comfort. In three verses, John 14, 16, he will abide with us forever. That's comforting to know. John 14, 18, he promised not to leave us as orphans. So even when it feels like we're the only one, even if we've lost people who are dear to us, even if we feel like we're just isolated. I was on the other side of the ocean this week in another country, away from my family, away from everybody I knew, but I knew that I had the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, and I'm comforted in that. John 14, 26, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus. And the words of Jesus were very comforting. Another reason that the Holy Spirit was given is for counsel and education. We looked at John 14, 26. He shall teach you all things In John 15:26, he is the Spirit of truth that testifies to Jesus. If we read the scriptures, we will understand the scriptures because the Holy Spirit working in and through us helps us to understand, helps us to grasp it so that we can use it when we need it for ourselves and for others. Another reason the Holy Spirit came was to give us the ability to demonstrate God's power. This is the one we're kind of focusing on today. Acts chapter 2, we saw he came with a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire. In Acts chapter 3, Peter healed the lame man, power. Acts 14, verses 8 through 11, Paul healed a lame man in Lystra. He saw that the man had faith and he spoke out and said, be healed. And not just to the world, but also power to the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're told how the Holy Spirit will give us power when we come together. So all these verses are there to remind us, to encourage us that the Holy Spirit should make us powerful. And then one more is an affirmation of value. John 16:8-11. I'll just read those. And when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So how does that apply? Well, of righteousness, the Holy Spirit convicts his own. He convicts us that we are righteous, not in ourselves, but because Jesus, who lived a righteous life, died for us, rose again, and went to his Father. So in him, we have righteousness. So when Satan tries to beat you up with you're no good, you blew it again, when we have our failures, the Holy Spirit is there to lift us back and say, wait a minute, you have the Lord living in you. You are righteous. Repent and move on. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, got there already, didn't I? Okay. The second step is to receive the gift. Now, recognition is a great thing. In fact, it's essential. If you don't recognize you need something, chances are you'll never get it. But if you recognize that you were hungry and you failed to eat, you'd eventually end up in a sorry state, right? So similarly, if you recognize that Jesus wants us to have the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit and we don't receive it, then we're missing something. I want to be clear that I'm talking about more than the indwelling Holy Spirit that we receive with salvation. Okay, Jesus gave the believers the Holy Spirit before he ascended. Did you know that? John 20:22 says, and this was before he ascended, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. All right? But it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that gave power to believers. Now, back when I was growing up, we called this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The word used in my version, the New King James, is outpouring. I like that too. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, it was that rushing, mighty wind that drew people from all over the city. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them, meaning the folks gathered in the room, speak in his own language. They heard something from all over the city. This was not just a little phenomena that happened in that room. This was a loud noise. I mean, it must have sounded like jets flying over because people came running to see what was going on. And that's when the crowds heard people praising God in languages. There were people there because it was a Hebrew holiday celebration. They were there from all over the known world. So there they were, and here they come, and they run in, and here's all these people who are Galileans, who only know this little Galilean dialect, praising God in all these Arabian, Cretan, and it lists them in Acts 2, all the languages that they were speaking. In fact, if anybody ever tells you that that was just for the 12 disciples, notice that there's about 15 or 16 languages mentioned. So right then and there, there's more than 12, okay? The crowd claimed that the disciples were drunk. And it always amazes me that, you know, if people don't want to acknowledge the miracle worker, then they can't acknowledge miracles. And so even though this was a fabulous miracle, they decided that these people must be drunk. They heard them speaking clearly and very distinctly giving praises to God, but they decided that they had to be drunk. You know, sometimes people just don't want to see the truth. But Peter stood up and said, "What you see is what was promised by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Peter recognized what he had received. And now he was proclaiming it. In Acts 1:8, which we had before, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And that power is a Greek word translated dunamis. It's the word that we get dynamite from. I just want to show you a little bit about what that word means, what all is included in that power that we get when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that even that description, comes upon, it literally means descends on, and operates in you. Okay, so it's something that is ours to have. It's ours to possess. The first thing is strength and power. Okay? It's ability. It's the ability to do something either better than we could before or something that we couldn't do before, the ability to do. It's inherent power. It resides in a thing by the virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Well, that's the Holy Spirit residing in us. So we don't tap into our own, you know, it's not this, it's not a meditation kind of thing. It's not a new age, other world. It's very clearly defined. It's the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us. It's power for performing miracles. And we saw how that took place in Acts chapter 3. Moral power and excellence of soul. You know, all this that we're talking about, power, boldness, it's a great thing. But if we can't live a life that represents Jesus Christ, if we can't represent him well, if we don't live a life that's morally upright, that's righteous, that's holy, then what do we have to show the world? We have to show them that he can make us different. He gives us the ability to walk in ways that are different from the world. The power and influence which belong to riches and wealth. The Bible says, "My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills underneath the cattle." So that's power that comes from his wealth. Power and resources arising from numbers. The whole host of heaven are with us. All God's angels are behind us. And finally, the power consisting or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. You plus the Holy Spirit is a mighty army. We can be victorious no matter how many come against us, no matter what the situation, when we have the Holy Spirit. Now, it might always not end up the way things look like or we think they should, but you can know that when you walk with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be victorious. Next, he's available to all believers. In Acts 2:39, Peter said, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." He's for us. It's for us today. It's not something that ended. I think Pastor Ron talked about the fact that some folks believe in what they call cessation, where the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer for today. The gifts are not for today. Peter said, it's for all whom the Lord will call. So that's all of us. It was expected at the beginning, in the early church, it was expected that if you were saved, you'd also receive the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that, according to Scripture, happened through speaking in tongues. In fact, if you look at all of the evidences throughout the Acts and in some of the epistles, every time it said people were filled with the Holy Spirit, it said they saw or heard. There was something that marked the fact that these people had received the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, God desires to pour more of himself into you. So it is available, it's there, and once we have it, we don't have it so that we can, God never gives us anything to kind of just sit on or bury or, you know, make ourselves wealthy. He gives us so that we can give out. God is a giving God. He gives us to overflowing so that we don't give of our need, but we give out of abundance. That's awesome too. So it's not just limited to pastors or leaders or those with a theological degree, but Peter says in Acts 2:39, it's for all believers, for as many as the Lord shall call. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to spread God's kingdom on earth by filling us with boldness or power to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, and to manifest the same works, oh wait, even greater than Jesus did himself. Have you ever stumbled on this verse? Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That should be encouraging. Jesus did some pretty awesome stuff when he walked the planet. And he said, we can do greater things. If that doesn't encourage you, pinch yourself. Make sure you're awake. Now, there are some keys. There are some conditions. And one key is that we hear the voice of the Spirit and we respond to what he wants us to do. And wasn't that just like Jesus? Didn't Jesus say, I only do the things I hear my Father saying? I only do the things he says he's doing? So there's just a few prerequisites. One of them is you have to know the Word of God. Let's look at Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So if we're looking for wisdom, for revelation, for power, we need to know the Word of God. You have to be aware that there's a spiritual realm. And we won't go to Ephesians 6, but hopefully you're familiar with the armor of God. And it starts out, that passage in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 starts out, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are in a war against spiritual forces. And that's why we have supernatural spiritual power through the Holy Spirit. And so you have to be a willing partner. Action is required on our part. Now, what was interesting about our passage in Acts 3 when Peter approached the man, the timing was right. I think it's really important that we're tuned in, that we are walking with the Holy Spirit so that we hear when he wants to do those things that he wants us to do. I want to ask you a question. Several times in Scripture, it says that the certain disciples went up to the temple as was their custom. Okay? So I can see that they had done this over and over. I don't know if it was every day, I don't know if it was once a week, but they went. And this beggar, this lame man, was set there every day. So that day that Peter and John passed him and he asked for alms, that probably wasn't the first time they'd ever seen one another. They may have passed him day in and day out. But that day, the Holy Spirit put in Peter's mind, in his heart, today I want to do something. Do you pass beggars every day? Is the Holy Spirit asking you to release his power to save them, to heal them, to just give a word of encouragement in their lives? Listen for the voice of the Spirit. It's amazing what he will do when you hear his voice. Because Jesus said, my Father's always working, and I'm doing his work. And so if the Father is always working, then he's always got something for you to do. He's always got something for me to do. And I have to admit, there are many times when I've thought I heard his voice, but I didn't do what he said to do. And almost immediately afterward, it's like, oh, I missed it again. But thank the Lord that he is gracious. He is loving. He wants to train us up to do it and to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to him. And he's not a condemning God. He's a loving God. He wants us to represent him well. And he wants his power to be reflected from us so that we can draw men to God. There's no formula. God operates uniquely, especially and specifically in every instance according to his plan and design. We can't create a way to heal. Okay? Look at Acts 3. Peter didn't pray. He took the man by the arm and said, I don't have any money, but here's what I got. Wham! Now, I can show you an example where Jesus healed a blind man by spitting in mud and putting it on his eyes, but I wouldn't go around doing that to people. We have to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants to do and how he wants to do it and when he wants to do it. And you know what? That requires practice. If you haven't been doing it up until today, you're not going to do it tomorrow. I'm still practicing. I'm still trying to get it right, and I still screw up from time to time. But praise God, I occasionally get it right. And when I do, usually you can see some results. And the more we get in that track, the more we get used to listening to and following the Holy Spirit, the greater results we'll see. In fact, I would suspect that if every one of us walked in that power and just went about our daily lives, but the difference being we let the Holy Spirit lead us and spoke into situations and acted in situations where he called us to, this church wouldn't be big enough within a month or two. Seriously, folks, it's that powerful. And it's not about how big can we make our church. It's about how can we save a lost and dying world? There's people out there. You know, I'm from Chardon. There's people out there that lost loved ones. I don't know if those kids knew the Lord. It really breaks your heart. But there's a lot of kids that are still out there that need to know. They need to hear. They need the truth. Those of you that are in high school, you can be that voice. You can be that light. Us who are in the workplace, we can do that too. But isn't it funny? Sometimes there's a conflict. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and we're too timid to speak or act. What does a Spirit-filled life look like? Let's just real quick go there. I quoted it earlier. John 8:28, the second half of the verse, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And then lastly in John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in a like manner." Before you sign up for radical Christianity, let me just give you one disclaimer, okay? We have to count the cost. Releasing the Holy Spirit into a world that is inherently antichrist doesn't always yield positive results. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 6 and 7, there was a man by the name of Stephen who, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, spoke and in fact gave quite a powerful sermon to those who were accusing him. And the end result of that was that it cost Stephen his life. It said his countenance reflected the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, it got his accusers so enraged, they took him out and stoned him. Actually said his face looked like the face of an angel. The power was visible. That's awesome. In Acts 14, that I mentioned earlier, Paul healed the paralytic, and the crowd thought that he was a god, and when he said, no, wait a minute, that's not us, it's the Holy Spirit, they stoned him, dragged him out of town. And in Acts 15, Paul never learned his lesson. In Acts 16, there was a woman who was following him with a demonic spirit, and he turned around and cast the demon out of her. That cost him a beating and a night in prison. So, walking with the Spirit is not for the faint of heart. But it's just not the same as walking without him. It's such a powerful, wonderful thing. I just want to encourage us all to make that our goal every day, to, regardless of the outcome, act on the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us. And that will separate you not only from the world, but in some cases it might even separate you from the church, because some don't embrace or understand the gift that Jesus gave us. They don't think it's for now. But it should be we who are saving lost souls, healing all the sick, performing powerful miracles so that God is magnified and people are daily added to the church. That's what it said about those who got saved in Acts. Wouldn't that be radical? I think so too. Worship team, can you come?